Well, as you've seen, Patty got weak and they brought her to her chair and she passed out for a minute. Her pulse is strong. They've gone ahead and called 911 just to get her checked out. I would imagine she got hot, and but we want to pray for her. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift our sister Patty to you. God, she's a precious child of yours, and she's precious to us. We pray now in the power of your Spirit that whatever's going on with her physically, God, that you would intercede. We know that, Father, you spin the planets on your finger and you cast the stars in the sky, and you can certainly take care of what's going on with Patty. So, Lord, we trust you and we entrust her to your care. We pray encouragement in her. Speak to us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn to John chapter 18. We'll try to give you updates as they give me updates on Patty, but she's got some medical folks out there with her, and she's in good hands. John chapter 18. I want to set the stage for you. Jesus has he's gone to the Jewish leaders, and they have had their little trial with him, and this he's on his last few moments on this earth. And he comes, the Jewish leaders take him before Pilate. And Pilate doesn't know what to do with him because he's really committed no crime. So he's somewhat confused by the whole thing. And we pick it up in John chapter 18, verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world." I want to stop just a second, freeze it. Listen to that. "For this reason I was born." This is Jesus speaking. Can't you just see the angels perhaps even pushing out on the edge of their chairs? Listening, what's he going to say? "For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth." Hello. "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Let's pray. Father, again, we lift up Patty to you and pray that you would be in control and that you would heal what's going on. We pray, Father, that you would send your Spirit on us and you would speak with power and authority and transform us. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. There has been, y'all have heard me talk about this before, but this is such a serious issue to me. What we will begin, we begin a new sermon series today. I'll get to that in just a second. But let me go ahead and just tell you, the sermon series is absolute truth. Absolute truth. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, a few weeks ago, I sent out an email asking for your questions. The first time I sent that out, I got two or three, and they were fairly similar questions. I thought that's going to be a short series. And so I sent a second one. Bad mistake. Bad mistake. I got flooded with questions, and they weren't easy. They weren't easy questions. And they were good questions. On Easter Sunday, I will begin a series addressing those questions. But I just wanted to, as a precursor to that series, I wanted us to have a shorter series on absolute truth, because I want to tell you the answers to your questions are going to come from God's Word. I don't have any answers, but God does. And I believe with all my heart He has spoken. Do you believe that? Well, I want to tell you that if I answer you the question that you have submitted, if I answer out of God's Word, and you haven't made up your mind if you believe God's Word, then the answers don't matter, because you just make up your own. And that's what's happening in our culture. Not only is that what's happening in our culture out there, but that's what's happening in many cases in the church. Hello? Is anybody awake out there? That's what's happening in the church. You would think that you come to church that you can count on the Word of God being preached, being lived by, being believed in. You would think, wouldn't you? There, I won't get into all of the different mega pastors and names that you would recognize, people that should be representing the gospel of Jesus Christ that are giving out lies. They're just feeding people with feel good spirituality. Something that's more palatable. We don't like to hear that we are born sinners. We don't like to hear that, but there by the grace of God go I. We don't like to hear that we need a Savior. You know, when we come and you accept Christ, some of the questions, the main question that I ask you is, number one, do you repent of your sin? We're confessing that we're a sinner. And then I ask you, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, meaning He's in control now, and your Savior, meaning you need to be saved? That's not the message throughout the church. Did you know that? If you don't know that, wake up. I really do. Sometimes I want to grab Christians by the shoulders and I just want to say, wake up! Do you see what's going on? Hello, Jeff is alive today. Jesus said, for this reason I was born, for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Seems to indicate that there is truth. Seems to indicate that God has an opinion, doesn't it? Everybody, real quickly, get your bearings, north, south, east, west. Get your bearings and point on the count of three. I want you to point north. Okay? If you don't know, then give it your best shot. On the count of three. Dixie, I'm watching you. One, two, three. Point, hold it. Hold it. Some of you are going, you know, they taught me not to do that in school. I don't know. That's called cheating. All right. So, how many of you think it's that way? Say amen. We got an amen. I got one. Way to go, Gene. Brave Gene up here. How many of you think it's that way? Say amen. How many of you think it's that way? Say, how many of you think it's that? No, that's not right. How many of you think it's that way?
Amen.
Well, let me tell you. I have a truth finder. Now, here's the deal. Did you know that it doesn't matter what you think? There is a one true north. Did you know that? It really doesn't matter what some of us, many of you, your opinion was right. North, according to the compass, that is the infallible measurement of north, That is north. Now, Gene, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to humiliate you in front of everybody. You know, we have a compass. And it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what our opinion is. It doesn't matter what anyone tells us. It doesn't matter what I'm saying to you today. Me. God has spoken. God has spoken. Did you know in the New Testament that Jesus proclaims this little phrase 75 times in the New Testament? I tell you the truth. 75 times Jesus says that. 25 times in the book of John, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book of the gospel, 25 times Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you. There's this emphasis, this repetitive emphasis that he is speaking truth. For this reason he was born. For this reason he came to the world to testify to the truth. So, here is the question. Now, I've got a, you probably saw if you're looking at your handout, there's a whole bunch of stuff. And I want you to buckle your seatbelts. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these scriptures, but I put them there because I want you to have them. We're going to hit it quick and fast here to get through these points, but I wanted you to see all of the scripture pertaining to truth. It's a fairly important topic in God's Word. First thing, what is truth? Jesus is truth. What he really was saying there was he had came to the world and he was born to testify the truth. Hello, I am the truth. You want to see truth, Jesus says? Look at me. I am the truth and the way and the truth and the life. Notice it doesn't say, I am the way and a truth and the life. The singular, the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'll tell you what, people, your pastor goes crazy when I see from the pulpits in our community and in our nation, when I hear that, oh, there's other, Jesus is just a way. It's just a way. There's other ways. We're all on our own journey. I'm telling you, before I started hearing that, I had a full head of hair. That's how crazy it makes me. Then be something else. Don't be a Christian. Be something else. It's okay. Be something else. Because as Christians, we understand that Christ died for us, that we're this needy people. We're this, by nature, we come to this world sinners in need of a Savior. If Buddha can take care of that, then be a Buddhist. Don't be a Christian. Don't proclaim Christ. Because Christ is very unique. He is the way and the truth and the life. It says the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Second, what is truth? We are sanctified, made holy by the truth. That's what sanctified means, is to be made holy. There's this purification to us that's happens through the truth. Through Christ, through His Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there's this sanctification going on, this holiness that's happening to you and I. If Christ is in us, we are being made holy. We are being sanctified day by day, minute by minute, to be more and more like our Savior. Third thing about truth. Truth is closely linked to salvation. Now listen to these scriptures. I'm going to hit them pretty quick here. 2 Timothy. Now Paul is coming to the end of his life, and the Apostle Paul, he's the one who started the Gentile church. He was a persecutor of Christians, and he was a Jew that felt so strongly against the Christians. He was persecuting them. He was having them executed. He was having them imprisoned. This was a bad dude until he came face to face with the living Christ. Changed him. You been changed like that? Changed him. And God is so, I love that story of Paul, because God knew that Paul, even though he was against, he was passionate, but he was passionately against Christ. So he knew if he changed him, he would now be passionately for Christ. I love that. But he's coming to the end of his life, and he's sitting in a prison, and he knows the time is close. And he says to his mentor, the one he's been mentoring, his little disciple, Timothy, and he writes this letter to him, and he says, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures." You see, they're holy. I don't know if you knew that. "Which are able to make you wise for" what? Salvation. The scriptures? Are you kidding me? The scriptures can make us wise for salvation through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ? I didn't know that. Did you know that? The scriptures, golly, these things almost sound important. This almost sounds important. What Paul is telling Timothy is cling to the scriptures. Because this is the truth. I'm passing away. My time on earth is coming to an end. Cling to what you know to be true. Cling to God's word. Jesus says, "Then you will know the truth. The truth will set you free." Well, free seems to indicate that we're in bondage. What are we in bondage to? Sin. Seems as though we need a Savior. Scriptures tell us that. From the beginning, in 2 Paul again, in 2 Thessalonians, "From the beginning, God chose you to be saved." There's that word again, saved. Listen, through what? The sanctifying work of the Spirit, and through belief in what? The truth. What's true? Jesus is true. His word is true. Fourth thing. What is truth? God's word is truth. And you can read your scripture yourself. All scripture is God breathed. I love that. God breathed. Another translation says it's God inspired, but I love God breathed, because it's God breathed life into us once with Adam. And through Jesus Christ, His Son, and through the truth of Him, and through the truth of His Spirit, and through the truth of His Word, He's breathing life into us again. It's God breathed. Fifth thing, truth. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. You see, when we realize we're this sinner, and we come and we confess our sin, "Yes, I repent of my sin." Do you wish to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? "Yes, I wish to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior," indicating we need to be saved. Then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. That's what God's Word tells us. He's no longer out there somewhere. He no longer is in the temple that Billy preached about, the curtain that was torn when Jesus died on the cross. The curtain was torn, and the Spirit left the Holy of Holies in the temple, and Jesus says, "Guess what? I have a new home, and it's you." Man, do you believe that? Do you believe the God of the universe resides in you? How do we know that? Oh, hello, I think I read that somewhere. I'm pretty sure I read that. And Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you a counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth." not just the Spirit, but the Spirit, say it with me, of truth. Sounds like there's truth. Are y'all getting the feeling there's truth? I am. When the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Golly, somebody's been lying to us. Now, I'm not trying to, I promise you, I want to, you hear me out today. I'm not trying to whip you up into a frenzy to go be mad at all the non-believers. That's not it. I do want to whip you into a frenzy. I want the Holy Spirit of truth to whip you into a frenzy so that you understand that God has spoken. Amen. God has spoken. And so when we hear things that God hasn't said, we know them to be, there's this word, a lie. We don't like that. That sounds judgmental. Well, I'm sorry. That's what God's Word says. Now, listen to this. Number six. Jesus says that truth has opposition. That's what I was just talking about. Has opposition. We have an enemy. Because He says in this, for this reason I came into the world, for this reason I was born, to testify the truth. And then He goes on to say, everyone, listen to this, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Well, hello, let's look at that a minute. That seems to indicate there's sides. Hello. This seems to indicate there's sides. Truth, what do you think would be contrary to truth?
Lies.
And who does God's Word tell us the father of lies is? So you have God, who is truth, and in opposition to Him, you have Satan, the father of lies. It's his native tongue, God's Word tells us. Did you know that the world's shooting lies at you? Every day. I love it, Cheryl. Every day. She's the only one that gets that joke. Every day. Got to have a little finger wag in there. The truth is under assault every day. In the media. And that doesn't really break my heart, because, you know, lost people are supposed to be lost. If they don't have Jesus, they're not supposed to act like they have Jesus. Did we know that? We understand that. They're captive to the lies of the enemy. And we understand that. And what that does is it gives me a passion to share with them the truth. But what saddens me is when those in the church, and I'm talking about the greater church, when those in the church belong to this camp. Breaks my heart. And when those in the pulpit make their home in this camp, it breaks my heart. And it's serious. Do we understand this is serious? If I get any more serious, I'm going to have to get a throat lozenge later, because I'm getting hoarse. This is serious. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So Jesus has told us that there's sides. Now I'm going to skip down to 1 John 4. Listen to this. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, speaking of evil and so forth. Because the one who is in you, who's in us? Jesus. His Holy Spirit dwells in us. Why do we know that? Because the truth has told us that. And because hopefully we've experienced it. Greater is you, who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Who's in the world? Satan. He's in this camp, remember? They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. We expect the world to listen to the world, don't we? But listen to what he says. But we are from God. Do we listen to the world? Who do we listen to? We listen to God. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. What's another word for falsehood? Lies. Jesus is telling us very clearly their sides. We don't like that because all the world, it's like, let's all just come together and get along. No, we can't. Because to get along means to leave the truth and to come into the world. We can't do it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you believe that He's plucked you from the depths of hell itself and He saved you, you can't be of the world. We can't just agree to that and get along with that. We must know the truth and live the truth. Our world is mixed up, and here's what we're facing. See if you recognize any of this in our culture. You have two views. If there's going to be an overhead following these, and you can fill in these different words. You have the Christian worldview, which is what I've been laying out, that God's Word tells us that we're sinners, in need of a Savior, and we've been saved, and that God has spoken, all of those things. So you have the Christian worldview, and you have the secular worldview with those that are not Christians, and there may be somewhere in between, maybe they even call themselves Christians, but they live over here. And here's the difference between those two camps, those two sides, as Jesus puts it. The first is, truth is absolute. North is north. I want to ask you if any of you would like to go off the front of our building and say, I don't believe in gravity, and I'm going to jump. Watch this. Let me tell you, in just about point whatever seconds, you will soon believe in gravity. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Truth is absolute. Over here, truth is relative. It changes. Truth is what I believe today. You have your truth, church, Christians. I have mine. I'll pluck a little bit from over there and a little bit from over here. It's relative. You have your truth. I have mine. That's the secular worldview. Truth is discovered. Christians believe truth is discovered. Read your Bible, church. If you want to learn about truth, read what God has said. It's discovered. Truth is created. Over here. We create it as we go. Truth is objective. Truth is subjective. Everyone in this Christian camp, everyone, and I believe this with all my heart, has a right to their own opinion. If you disagree with me this morning, you have every right to disagree with me. If you disagree with God's Word, God, that's why He gave us free will. Everyone has a right to their opinion. Every opinion is right. Hello. I can't tell which side's awake. Are we awake? The middle's awake. Everyone has a right to their opinion. Every opinion is right. Do you see that? Am I the only one that sees that in our world, in our culture? It's all over the place. Just turn on the news. Watch it one evening. Belief, the Christian camp, belief does not determine truth. Well, jump off the building, that's proven. Truth is personal belief, personal perspective. That's what truth is in the worldview, the secular worldview. I believe that it's true. in the Christian camp. I believe that it's true. I believe it with all my heart that Jesus died for me. Do you believe it? I can't prove it, but I believe it with all my heart. It's true because I believe it. The worldview, secular worldview. Tolerance is they've changed this word. Our culture's changed this word, tolerance. Tolerance for the Christian and the traditional definition of tolerance is to agree to disagree. Anybody know who coined that phrase? First man to coin that phrase. Agree to disagree. Learning. This is the Learning Channel this morning. Anyone know? Billy, do you know? John Wesley, big man. Yeah! John Wesley. Yeah. Yeah, a Baptist told him. Yeah. Yeah. The Christian worldview, we can all agree to disagree. It's okay if you disagree with me. It's okay. Tolerance for this camp, I want to read this. Tolerance means to agree that all claims to truth must be accepted as equal and valid. That's what tolerance means from a secular worldview. Tolerance is supposed to mean, I don't agree with you, but I'm going to allow you to disagree with me. It's okay for us to disagree. Over here goes, no, you have to agree with everything I tell you to agree with. Did you ever notice that we're supposed to be tolerant as Christians by the secular worldview? We're supposed to be tolerant of everything except being a Christian. Did you know that? We're supposed to be tolerant of every other behavior. But if you're in this camp where you believe, no, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, oh, well, we can't tolerate that. We can tolerate everything else, but not that. That's the way our world has gotten. How does sin, church? We have to understand that we've got to deal with this thing called sin. I'm going to hit these quickly, and you can read the scriptures are right there. The first thing, how we respond to truth because of sin, is we turn away from the truth. God's Word says it. Read it. We suppress the truth. And if you don't, once again, just think about the world we live in. See if these things are happening all around us. We distort the truth. We reject the truth. Am I going too fast? For those of you filling in. Turn away, suppress, distort, reject, and we exchange the truth for a lie. So, sin, if it's not dealt with, sin begins to distort and reject the truth of God's Word. And we begin to say, well, okay, I'm a Christian, but golly, this just makes sense, you know, that we should do, you know, that this should be okay. I did it before the Holy Spirit really convicted me, before I feel like I was filled with the Holy Spirit about 20 years ago. I was one of those that exchanged the truth for a lie. It was just, well, gosh, that, you know, surely that's okay. Or I can see both sides of that. Do you think God, that's where God is on any issue? Name an issue. Do you think he's going, let me think here a minute. Do we think that though, don't we? Don't we as the church? Don't we, well, God, I was there. God has an opinion. And it's the only opinion. And it's righteous and holy. And our job, our task is not to formulate our own opinion. Our task is to diligently seek His. Diligently pursue Him and His truth. That's our task before us, church. We are in a battle of worldviews. And we have the two that are competing for our hearts and minds. You may not know it. I'm hoping after today, I'm hoping that me or God or somebody has rattled your cage a little bit. I hope if you've been asleep, And I don't mean physically asleep during the sermon. I mean asleep, sleepwalking through your life as a born-again Christian. I hope that you will wake up and understand that you have two that's pursuing you with gusto. You have the Savior who humbled himself and died for you. And you have the devil, our enemy. It's not the world's not our enemy. Satan is our enemy. And he didn't die for you. No, his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy you. And if he can do it, and it doesn't matter. If he can do it through addictions, if he can do it through your marriage, if he can do it through your relationship with your children or your neighbor or your coworkers, if he can do it through pornography, he doesn't care. He just wants to destroy you. He just wants to take you out. And we have to understand that we are in this battle and that God has spoken. We're going to spend the next 2 weeks. Next week I will, on Absolute Truth, next week we'll be dealing with the Old Testament. And the next week, the New Testament. We have to, before we can begin to answer questions, we have to understand that God has spoken. Let's pray. We thank you, Jesus, that you have spoken. We thank you that you were born and you came to the world to testify to the truth. We thank you, Father, that you haven't just left us out there floundering to wonder where we should go, what we should do, how should we should live our life. We don't have to wonder about those things. We thank you that you have spoken. And we thank you that your truth sets us free. Father, I pray for conviction now for us, that you would make us passionate about your word, passionate about your spirit, passionate about your son Jesus. We would begin to live our life coded in the truth. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and close this morning. I'll be up front if you would like to come and talk to me about anything or pray or about the church or anything at all.
Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty.
Sing that again. Sing broken.
Restores my life. So I wait.
On Patty, she was doing much better outside. Her speech was good, her pulse was good. They went ahead and took her to Hendrick, but she everything was looking good before she left. So if you want to check on her, she'll be at Hendrick. So we praise God for that. Amen. For this reason Jesus came. For this reason he was born, to testify to the truth. Go and testify, church. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed.
Take your eyes as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.